It seems that in this fast-changing world, laziness couldn't possibly be a problem anymore. But it is. And certain people are truly prone to this sin. It is a sin. It's one of the seven deadly sins, and it's still deadly today. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to A Different Perspective, as together with my special guest this week, Keith Henry, we take a look at overcoming temptation. And do stay tuned, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about the current life application booklet from Christianity Works called Defeating the Devil in the Wilderness. I'd love to send you a copy to help you live in the victory that Jesus died and rose again to give you. We all have patches in life where we need to take our foot off the pedal just a bit. That's natural. We can't keep running at a million miles an hour, otherwise we burn out. Then we're no good to ourselves or anyone else for that matter. So yes, we all need to take a breather and make sure that we have plenty of rest and recreation. But sometimes that kind of slips over the line, and too much R&R, well, we have a name for that. It's called laziness. Sloth in the old-fashioned language. I like the sound of that word, sloth. It's pretty confronting. And as we're going to see on the program today, some people are more prone to laziness than others. And laziness, well, it's like a disease or a cancer. Laziness turns us into couch potatoes. Instead of cooking, we watch TV shows about cooking. Instead of travelling, we watch shows about travelling. Instead of gardening, we watch other people doing gardening. Instead of having a life, we watch other people having a life and kind of kid ourselves that we have a life too. But here's the paradox. Laziness doesn't revive us like rest should. Laziness robs us. It drains us. It drains the life out of us. Whether in yesteryear we called it sloth or today we call it laziness, doesn't matter what we call it, it robs us of life, and it's deadly. Well, Keith, welcome to the program again today. Tell us about this sloth thing. Didn't you love that word?
Yes.
I used to call it sloth, laziness.
That's right. Well, we're all lazy up to a point, as you said. We have to rest, but laziness in this term doesn't just mean lying on the couch watching the TV eating chocolates, right? You can be very busy, but you can be lazy.
Yeah, explain that.
Well, laziness in this term is more talking about putting off what you should do. You could be doing something else, right? I should go and mow the lawn, but I won't. I'll actually do something else. You know, there's priorities in life. There's big things that we should do, and laziness is more talking about putting those things off to tomorrow.
So you never get around to it.
Yeah, and tomorrow comes and you might put it off to the next day.
Okay. Now, so why are some people more prone to that than others?
In personality, the one that Romans 12 calls the teacher is the one most prone to laziness, because their priority is really to relate to people. They're the real relationship people. That's why they're called teachers. Doesn't mean they have to teach, or they're the best teachers, but they really relate to spending time with people. Therefore, if they have a priority of having to go to work or having to wash the car or do something, and somebody calls up and says, let's go for a drink or a cup of tea, they're more likely to take the cup of tea option rather than do what they should do.
So it's kind of like they're lazy about the mundane things in life that aren't the relationship-oriented things which they enjoy.
Exactly. They're called the procrastinators. And that's a real good description of them.
Procrastinators drive me nuts.
You're the action person, so the leader. Yes, but
all you procrastinators out there, watch out.
But the funny part about it, you come from will, Bernie, the leader, but they also come from will. Well, their will's first, but their will is to get along with people.
Yep.
So they will put off other things and not do what they should do. Now, we, for instance, have at work, we have a girl who is a teacher personality, and she can put things off. I told her about her personality the other day, and I said, how do you overcome procrastinating? And she said, oh, I make a list every day of what I should do, and I'll put them in priority. Simple thing we've all heard of, and that's what teachers must do. They must have a list, and they must do them one by one in the right order, because what they try to do is to do the less important things first because they're easier. So it's more laziness. Let's not take on the hard issues. Let's take the soft issues first, and we'll work our way up to the hard issues.
But we never do.
Never do. Keep putting them off.
I thought you were going to say when you asked her how she handles procrastination, she answered, oh, I think about it.
Well, hopefully she doesn't.
That's a hard one, because I think we all put off the things we don't enjoy doing so much. Don't you think? I mean, we all have things we don't much like doing.
Yeah.
If you have a job that really fits your personality type well, 80% of it might, but there's that 20% of stuff that you have to do. I mean, someone said to me once when I was in business that I'm administratively recalcitrant. I don't enjoy the nuts and bolts of administration. Right? I just don't.
Too slow for you.
Well, yeah, it just doesn't flick my switch. Mm. And so I will put those things off because I don't enjoy them so much. Is that what you're saying here with a procrastinator?
That's right.
Keith, I seem to have all of these sins. Is there something wrong with me?
No, you major in one, as we all do. We all major in one.
Right.
And so the other thing with the teacher, what they can do is that they want to be peaceful and easygoing because they like relating to everybody. Mm-hmm. So if there's some conflictive issue here, they will put that off and put it off, and they don't want to face conflict because it robs them of their peace and their relationship, so they won't say anything to anyone.
Mm. The laziness thing is a bit cancerous, isn't it? Because you, in a sense, it doesn't appear like a sin. I'm just putting things off. But you think about it, you put off your tax return, and eventually the government comes knocking on your door.
Yes.
You put off paying the bills, and eventually they turn the electricity off. You put off the things that you don't want to do and that you don't enjoy. Eventually, it all slips away. There's an interesting passage in Proverbs chapter 24. Have a listen to this. I passed by the field of someone who's lazy, by the vineyard of a stupid person, and see, it was all overgrown with thorns. That doesn't happen overnight, does it? The thorns don't come overnight, they come in time. Mm. And the ground was covered with nettles, and its stone walls were broken. Then I saw it and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed warrior. Yeah. It creeped up on you very slowly, this particular sin, doesn't it? But eventually it bites.
It does. And it bites because one real reason is they don't want to make decisions. You make a decision that I'm going to pull the weeds out today, and you go and do it. They put off decision-making.
I can't remember which Charlie Brown character it was, but one of them said nothing is so important that it can't be put off until tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah, well, that's a good definition of what laziness is.
So the solution this woman gave you was that she actually does a list and tries to stick by her list.
She does, and that's actually in 2 Peter 1, the virtue to overcome the laziness is to have that list. And to persevere, it says actually patience, but it's perseverance, long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And these are, that's why they're very good teachers. They will persevere in showing you what you should do. Great people to show you what to do, because they don't get annoyed with you. They'll persevere. And that's all in life. They have to take on the perseverance and the patience to actually do them till they're finished.
Yeah, Keith, this stuff is really making me think. I'm looking forward to next week. We're going to continue on the program next week looking at some of the seven deadly sins. But it seems like we're going under the covers here. And I hope that if you've been with us this week, that you've really been thinking, that one's me. Wow, I never realized that about myself or about my wife or about my husband or about my friend. And you're seeing how we're differently wired, and each one of us has a different one of these seven deadly sins that we have to struggle with. And yet each one, God gives us a way out. Keith, thanks for joining us. You'll catch up with us again next week.
Love to.
The devil is constantly trying to trip you up with the same old tricks, lies, deceptions and temptations. But Jesus came to give you victory. Complete victory over all that stuff. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Defeating the Devil in the Wilderness, and it's full of life-changing practical Bible teaching to help you live in victory during the good times and the bad. In fact, at the end of each chapter, there are some life application questions to help you apply God's Word right into the realities of your life. So to request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Hey, thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time next week, with a different perspective.